to coach. And, you know, he also kind of, I guess, helped me learn to coach, not just to play. And that's kind of where it started.
All right. Now, you also said that CJVA started kind of coincidentally when you graduated from high school. Mm-hmm. What did you just go right into work, or did you do any other college pursuits?
I did. I went to RV for early childhood education. But at the same time, I was actually working just different jobs, and then I'm staying at a vision therapy center and working that as my full time job. And did that for
you're a busy person
for a couple of years. Yeah, and then our business started growing. Kim and Al eventually asked me if I wanted to make volleyball my full time job, and of course I said yes. Who wouldn't want to do that? So I left the vision therapy center and I came on board full time with them.
And when did that happen? When did they ask you to be full time?
Probably about 5 years ago when we decided to partner up.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, so let us back up. We heard the story of Andrea, so let's hear a little bit of story of CJVA. So they started it around the time you graduated, mm-hmm. which was, what, 7 years ago?
2005.
2005, mm-hmm. so 11 years ago. Mm-hmm. What was the motivation for them?
They were currently at another club. Back then, there wasn't a lot of volleyball clubs in New Jersey. The closest one was in Union. There was a couple of Hunter and County parents, actually, that were part of that club. Mm-hmm. And it was just, they weren't, you know, necessarily happy. It was far from them.
Yeah.
So they decided to start their own club. Talked to everybody and said, you know, we can do a one team club, and they decided to do that in 2005. And just for the, you know, for kicks, they decided to do open tryouts, and instead they got four teams that first year.
So it's that hungry a sport.
Yeah, wow. It's growing like crazy.
Growing like crazy.
Yeah.
All right, so they decided to start the club. They mm-hmm. they did the tryouts. They got four teams. Mm-hmm. What does a club mean to me? I don't quite understand it. I relate to, let's say, Little League, right?
Okay.
That's the big thing right now where each team, each municipality has a team.
Mm-hmm.
So, but they play with locally, mm-hmm. right? And then I realize that they have the travel teams, you know, they
right.
put together the best, and then they go play in the other municipalities, and eventually it goes all the way to the playoffs.
Right.
How does volleyball and club volleyball relate to that?
It kind of embodies everything. Club volleyball is pretty much their season away from their high school teams. And we have all sorts of those levels. So we have a local level. So if kids want to come play and train locally and only compete locally, we have that level.
Mm-hmm.
But then we also are kind of like travel volleyball, where we have high-level teams that are our black and white teams that actually compete nationally. They train. They still train locally, but they train more often.
Mm-hmm.
And then they represent our region, which is New Jersey and New York, at national tournaments up and down the East Coast and even at nationals.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, you said it's on a schedule off of or parallel, not parallel, but in separate from the schedule that's in the high school.
Correct.
So I'm doing I do Hunter and Chamber Radio Sports every day here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm noticing right now that the girls volleyball is taking place.
Correct.
In the fall. I know that boys volleyball tends to be in the spring.
That's right.
So you guys are going opposite of that? So
yeah.
The boys would be with you guys right now?
Yeah, right now we actually just started our boys free tryout clinics. So we'll have travel team tryouts mm-hmm. on September 11th.
Right.
And then right now we're doing just a bunch of clinics to get boys interested in the sport. And we'll have the boys season from September through February. Mm-hmm. Then they'll actually stop, and then their high school season and their tryouts will be in March, and their school season will go March through May.
Gotcha.
And then we'll actually pick back up with the boys in June for nationals. And then the girls is kind of the opposite. The girls right now are in their high school season
mm-hmm.
Or middle school season, and they usually do that till about October or mid-November. And then come November, we'll start our girls' tryouts for travel teams, and then their season will go November through, you know, May or June.
All right. So last question before we go to a break.
Okay.
What does the Director of Player Development, what is your focus?
My focus is to make sure every player that enters our gym is on the right track with their skill development. So it was my job to know around like 200 players that we had last year in our girls program.
Yeah. 200 players in the girls program?
Yeah.
Holy cow.
We have a
That's lot. Just in Central Jersey?
Correct.
All right,
yeah.
Go ahead.
We had our girls program is huge. Like I said, we started with 4 teams that first year. I think last year we had 30 teams. So it's definitely growing.
So you're sitting there, each kid comes through the door, and mm-hmm. you've got some type of chart, either paper, I imagine, electronic, where you're sitting there saying, these are the skills that this child, teen, needs to improve.
Yeah, we have almost like an age progression chart that our staff follows. So we know what stepping stone a kid should be doing at certain ages. Uh-huh. And it's our job and my job to make sure that they're kind of following that. And that's how we can see who's kind of jumping ahead of that chart, who's falling behind, who needs a little bit of extra work. And you know, just getting to know all of these players, make sure they're happy with what they're doing and they're progressing.
Sweet. All right, we're going to take a break. We're talking to Andrea Salazar. She's the Director of Player Development at CJVA. That is Central Jersey Volleyball Academy. We'll be right back.
Yeah, you can be the greatest. You can be the best. You can be the King Kong banging on your chest. You can beat the world. You can beat the war. You can talk to God, go banging on his door. You can throw your hands up.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Welcome back to Good Morning Hunter and HuntingShaver.com. Andrea Salazar is with me. She is the Director of Player Development at CJVA, Central Jersey Volleyball Academy. And we just learned a heck of a lot just in the last 15 minutes about what they offer and why they're around. So, Andrea, let's talk a little bit about the academy. Now, first of all, where is it located?
It's located right on River Road, actually down the street from Hunter and Central High School and right before Diamond Nation. So, you know, almost by behind the Walmart, right?
Okay.
Yeah,
I know.
There you go.
Okay. There was a dance academy down there, too, I think.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
That I saw. My daughter went to the dance academy, and I saw these people playing volleyball. So.
Yeah, that's us.
Okay. And so you're in kind of that industrial complex down
mm-hmm.
there. All right, so we got that. Has that been the place since 2005, or is it?
No, we actually started out of the Somerville YMCA for the first 2 years.
Okay.
And then Alan Kim found this space in the General Pallet building, which is the place on River Road.
General Pallet, yep.
Yep.
I remember it.
That's
yep.
it. And, okay. Fixed it up to be a volleyball facility. So we put three courts down, multi-sport floor, and that's been our home for the past now 8-9 years.
Okay, pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So are you local to the area? You went to school at Bridgewater
yeah.
Raritan, so you.
Yeah, I'm still in Bridgewater, so yeah. I'm pretty local. I'm about,
right.
you know,
easy
15 minutes.
You.
Yeah, 15 minutes away. But I'm pretty sure I know Flemington better. Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
All right, so it's the CJVA. It's been there for that particular place now. I'm putting the math together. It's 11 years, so you've been there about 9.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, I know what it looks like, but you tell me when I go through. If I had a kid, I heard about you, and I said, oh, let me check this out, and we made an appointment, and I walked through the doors. What do I see?
You walk in, the first thing you see is the courts. We have our two main courts in the front. They're regulation courts with clear span ceilings. On the right side, you'll see our front desk. Come up to the front desk, and you'll usually see me because I live there. And, I greet you, and I'd let you, I'd ask what age,
yeah.
you know, how much experience, brand new, maybe a little bit of gym volleyball, mm-hmm. clinics, and then we find a program that's appropriate for you.
Okay. So we learn a little about the student,
mm-hmm.
the athlete that's coming in.
Yeah.
Now, we're going to get to a little bit more about this in a minute, but the Olympics just finished, and I was watching some of the volleyball on the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much the people that are on the court in the Olympics are like 6'3".
Yeah. Average.
So, if somebody is more diminutive, what do they have to look forward to in the world of volleyball?
Height does play a big factor in it. You know, the Olympics are definitely not short on height. But there's... Luckily, so many different positions. Volleyball is so intricate. So if you noticed in the Olympics, there was the player with a different colored jersey
yes,
on the court. That's specifically a defensive player. So they don't go.
Why do they highlight that player?
Just I guess for tracking purposes, because that person can go in and out for the back row player without officially having a sub in. So just to track it a little bit better, you need to just be aware of where that person is.
Is that new?
It's been around internationally for a while. It's fairly new, I guess.
Yeah, I don't remember that a couple years
ago.
Yeah,
in college and high school game, it's fairly new. I would say probably maybe 7-8 years old. It's mm-hmm. been around internationally. But that player is strictly defense, and you actually don't see a lot of height on those players.
Right.
So
they need to be low to the ground.
They need to be low.
They need to dig.
Yeah, exactly. So if you're short and still a volleyball, that's the position I play.
So that's cool.
Yeah.
Can I make the assumption that that was done for that purpose, to bring more players into the game that felt cheated?
Probably not. It was probably brought in just to not use subs or substitutions anymore. I think that's why it was brought in, internationally. But it happened to also fill that void.
Yeah.
And helping,
well,
help those
cool.
players out.
Yes. Okay. Excellent. Well, because you'd come in and I went, wow, she's a volleyball player.
I was a libero. I was that defensive player, too.
Yes, you were a
obviously, I'm not
player.
Six something. Yes.
So you just gave me another insight that I had mm-hmm. no idea. There's how many? There's six players on the court mm-hmm. at each time. They're different. There's different roles on
yeah,
the team?
Yeah, there's different positions. There's, you know, obviously what we do is we want to train all around volleyball players, but what's happened to our sport, especially over the last couple of years, is it's gotten a lot specialized. So there's middle hitters, and their focus is, you know, strictly blocking. And then there's the libero that we talked about that's strictly defense. And then
libero, how do you spell it?
L-I-B-E-R-O, libero.
Libero.
The pronunciation is up for grabs. Everybody pronounced it a little bit different.
Spanish or something?
Might be a little Italian, maybe.
It's Italian for defense? For liberal.
Libero,
liberal.
I think for free. Like you can
free,
go,
hey, yeah. That's
there
it.
You go.
Libero, yep.
We're on the same
gotcha.
Page. And then there's, you know, a setter who strictly is in charge of taking the dig, putting the ball up in the air for the hitter. So there are different positions. So that's part of what we do, too. We do a lot of position-specific training for our players.
So what that implies to me mm-hmm. as a novice is that the team, the six people on the court, mm-hmm. have a set way that they, after they recover the ball from coming over the net from the other team, mm-hmm. they arrange that ball in a certain manner that takes advantage of the roles that you just described.
Correct, yeah.
Even though that person, those people might not, geographically might not be in the right spot.
Right.
They still know that they have to, certain people have to be in the, and the other guys stay out of the way?
Yeah, that's exactly it. I mean, your objective is to try and put the ball down on the other side, and you're going to want to do that with a lot of force. So if someone's really, you know, everyone's almost got their identified role. And
I had no idea.
Yeah, so
I thought it was, you know, when we do gym volleyball, it's chaos.
No, volleyball, so it's really intricate. There's a lot more to it. After, especially with the older girls, you'll find it's less skill development. It's more, you know, it's more tactical. You have to put your better hitter against the weaker blockers of the other side. Mm-hmm. Then maybe the other team makes an adjustment. You also have to make that adjustment. So it's almost like a game of chess after a while. So it's a lot of fun.
No, it's intriguing. I had no idea it was this strategic.
Yeah.
When you are watching from afar, mm-hmm. I didn't even have the idea that that even occurred. So that's pretty cool. Yeah. I didn't realize that. So now getting back to your role, mm-hmm. You're trying to give kids an overall perspective of their skills. But eventually, at some point in their career with you guys, mm-hmm. you're going to figure out that somebody has a better skill than another skill, right?
Yeah.
They're going to be a better role player.
Yeah. When players are really young, you know, we want to really enforce every skill. We emphasize being an all-around player. You're not just a position. You're a volleyball player. But mm-hmm. as kids get older, they do tend to almost pick a position. One of our mottos is, you know, you have to be good at least at two positions. But as they get to high school, everybody kind of starts settling into a role, you know, primary setter, outside defensive player, right. Because a lot of their goals is to, you know, be competitive in high school. Hunterdon Central, North Hunterdon are very, very competitive.
Yeah.
So you have to almost train in a certain area to excel in it. And that's what we started doing around the high school ages.
Very neat. Mm-hmm. I had no idea. All right, I'm learning a lot here today. So getting back to CJVA, so people call you up and mm-hmm. you figure out where they fit in, and obviously mm-hmm. you guys got a lot of options because with 200 women going on, 30 teams I think you just mentioned, you're going to find a place for them, and they're going to get involved. So now, what is their life like at CGVA? What do they enroll in, or what are their options?
Right. Well, the main program is our travel team. So if you come in right now in the fall season, mm-hmm. we have a couple of leagues and clinics, but everything right now is gearing up to our club tryouts in November, and that's where, you know, trying out for a team. So again, in this area, if you're looking to continue playing in your middle school, your high school, in the fall season, you really want to make sure that you're playing travel volleyball in the winter season. So as soon as a player comes in, we kind of direct them towards that. You want to, you know, here are our tryout dates, try out for your specific age group, because our teams are based on ages.
Is there travel teams for each age group?
Correct. So like we'll have, like last year, our youngest team was a 12 and under team, our oldest team was an 18 and under team. So you compete with your age group, and that's, you know, where we would direct a new player or even a you know, a experienced player come to our tryouts and see which team you make.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And what are the age groups?
We have, like I said, from 12 and under through 18 and under, and then more importantly is we have different levels at each age group. I think we're one of the few clubs that offers different levels per age group.
What constitutes a level?
A level is either is
a beginner.
Yeah, it's the skill level of the team as well as the commitment to the team. So we have four levels right now. We have our black teams, which are our really top teams, competitive teams. They usually finish in the top of the region, and they go to nationals automatically. Mm-hmm. And then we have our white teams, which are also national teams. They also carry a competitive schedule, and they represent us at national tournaments, which is also really, you know, players that are very committed to the sport, also very good. Our regional teams are maybe for beginner players or players that we get a lot of players that are dual sport athletes that still love volleyball, want to keep getting better for their school season, but also may be playing basketball or softball.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have our pink teams, which is strictly developmental. We mostly have them in the younger age groups, which is complete beginner, an introduction to volleyball, and they practice just locally, and they compete locally at our facility.
And you said 12 and under and 18 mm-hmm. and under, which mm-hmm. implies that there's really not a strata on age.
Correct.
It's on skill most of the time.
Yeah. It's both.
Certainly an older player is going to have more skills most of the time. But
correct. But we follow USAV age definitions,
okay.
Which means they tell you what, you know, what player is considered a 15 and under, a 16 and under. So we might have some players that are maybe in eighth grade playing up with ninth graders because of their age definition.
Okay.
So it's strictly by age. And then once they try out for like a 15U team, after that, we take all of the 15-year-olds that tried out, and then we put them in black, white, or red teams based okay. on their skill.
Wow. And mm-hmm. so national, what is a typical schedule like for the national team?
For the national teams, they're very competitive. These are players that have really fallen in love with the sport, and they're very committed. They practice three times a week.
Mm-hmm.
They usually have a strength and conditioning.
How long is the practice?
2 hours.
Okay.
And they usually have a strength and conditioning or speed and agility session aside from those three practices. We also do skill.
What does strength and conditioning look like? Are you guys doing weightlifting over there?
A little more speed and agility. Yeah. Like plyometrics,
okay.
cone drills, a lot of, you know, a couple of speed and agility,
mm-hmm.
More than that. Then we have open gyms,
mm-hmm.
Which a lot of our players do come to. Or once the season gets going, we have position-specific clinics that they have available to them. So they're pretty much in our gym 4 to 5 times a week. Just playing. And then for our national teams, their schedule is really competitive. So they'll have a travel tournament, a multi-day travel tournament at least once a month. So
they would go to a destination? And
yeah, so we've gone to Baltimore, Florida, Washington, D.C. We have a tournament at Penn State University. So we travel up and down the East Coast.
Wow.
So it's a very competitive schedule.
Is there any free time you guys throw at them too? Or are they just you just keep them in the gym all locked up?
Nope, we give them some free time. They have their nights.
They have their nights. Yes, well, I was a high school teacher, and mm-hmm. nights freaked me out. Because, so, okay, well, good luck to you guys on that.
Yeah.
One of the things that struck me when you were talking about these kids trying to train and improve their skills, it's not typically something, or is it possible to train on your own? You know, the ball's got to go up in the air, and you got to practice somehow. How do you?
It's tough. It's doable. You know, it's not like basketball where you know you can have a hoop above your garage and you can shoot around. It is the ultimate team sport where your contacts depend on somebody else. So it is really hard to do on your own. And you know that's why we're around. You have to train with a group of people. Yeah, you have to
because the predictability of where the ball's going to be. Just doesn't happen.
Exactly.
You have to react at that particular moment.
Yeah.
Wow. So the national teams are going to all these great places up and down the East Coast. The regional teams, where are they going?
The regional teams, they do have a couple of travel tournaments, but they do mainly single day regional tournaments. So might be a couple in Pennsylvania, a couple in New Jersey. So they still train twice a week.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll have single day tournaments, which means you go for the day, you get put in a group, you play everybody in your group, and then there's playoffs. And then you see how well you do in playoffs.
Right.
So it's still almost, you're still doing the competitive, tournament, day schedule. You're mm-hmm. There's no traveling. So there's no, hotels and,
right.
And multi-days on that.
Sure, sure. Now, you have 30 teams. Mm-hmm. Do you actually have tournaments just within your facility?
We don't. We scrimmage. We don't have official tournaments because the 30 teams are between two locations. We had, I think, about we had the majority of the teams in Flemington, and then we very recently opened a second location in Summit,
okay.
New Jersey. And so we had seven teams out of there.
Okay. And you'll give us the address of where Summit is.
Yeah, we're actually out of Kent Place High School.
Well, there's a bomb. My wife works at Kent Place.
Oh, no way.
So we'll have to talk about that a little bit later. That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. So now we're definitely connected, Andrea.
Yeah, we are.
Very cool. All right, so we got 30 teams mm-hmm. from young age all the way up. Scrimmages go on, regional opportunities go on, practicing goes on. This goes in concert with trying to improve for the possibility that these kids are in not a lot of middle school programs, right?
Well, in this area, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. That's why
it's so big.
That's why it's so big in this area, because you do have, J.P. Case, Reddington, and then in Clinton you have Clinton Township, Clinton Public. They actually all offer middle school programs. So these girls are playing at age 11. So by the time they get to the high school, they're really well informed with the sport, and a lot of them do travel. Our 13 and 14-year-old teams this year were very, very competitive.
So tell me why. You obviously live and breathe the sport.
Mm-hmm.
Give me the virtues of why a child should consider volleyball, not in lieu of, but, in compared to soccer's or field hockey's. What's the characteristics that make volleyball so appealing?
For me, I mean, I grew up playing all those sports. I grew up playing soccer and basketball, and the reason I really took to volleyball because it was really the ultimate team sport. There's something about it where, it's not like soccer where you can pause, take a look at who you can pass the ball. Same thing with basketball. You can dribble for a while, pass. With volleyball, I mean, it's such a fast-paced sport,
mm-hmm.
While the ball's in the air, you have to make all of these connections, all of these communications. It's not just as simple as, let's keep the ball in the air. While that ball's in the air, you're making these plays, these systems, and it gets really intricate. To me, it's a lot of fun because you almost have to be really smart about it, and it kind of incites that part of your personality. You have mm-hmm. to really think about it, and that's why I think it's so appealing to so many people.
So how has the sport grown over the last couple of years? What do you think has been the reason for that?
I think the Olympics you mentioned had a lot to do with it. We saw after London and Beijing, every time the Olympics are on, we get a surge of interest. We're already seeing that right now after Rio. you know, our registrations are going up, especially with our boys too, which is our main program right now. Mm-hmm. I think that has to do a lot with it, because then you see programs or schools in the area starting school programs, and that I think that's all coming from above. Mm-hmm. You know, it's been the Olympics have really put it out there. It's been mainstreamed. Prime time was, you know, beach volleyball. At night you were seeing.
So you guys are putting sand in the.
Oh, I wish. Maybe actually, maybe soon.
Really?
Maybe.
That'd
yeah.
That would be fun.
That would be fun. Yeah, because we actually do have a beach program, and
you have a beach program.
We do.
Where do you do that?
We rent space at White Oak Park.
I was joking, and I didn't realize I was going down. That's amazing.
We do. I mean, in the summer, that's what we encourage our players to do. You go down to Point Pleasant. They have beach volleyball tournaments.
Yeah.
And then during the week, we partner up with ECBVA, East Coast Beach Volleyball Academy.
Oh, my
and,
gosh.
And these players are training out of Plaquemine Park in Bedminster and White Oak Park, right in White House Station, just training twice a week on the sand.
So volleyball has become cool. That's what you're telling me.
Volleyball has always been cool.
I don't know. You know, I watch, you know, compared to like motocross and skiing and snowboarding and, what's his name? White.
Sean White.
Sean White and all that.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's hard to compete with that type of stuff, but, and, you know, not a lot of kids. I know archery became big when
the Hunger Games
came out, and it came out again. So,
yeah.
It's cool that we're getting this infusion.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I do think it's the visibility's definitely increased because of the Olympics, and mm-hmm. that's great because it's always been around, and now I'm happy when I see younger kids pick up a ball and start playing.
Yeah. Well, I am too, because mm-hmm. like the intro I said, you learn, or the disparaging thing from older generations to the younger ones is that they're electronically tied to their video games. But obviously with 200 women, girls in your thing, and then you got all the boys, you didn't even mention the population of that yet.
Yeah.
That's an incredible statistic that there's that many kids coming to you guys.
Yeah, no, we've definitely been growing, and it's great. You know, we're hoping this year we'll probably, every year we think we've had our biggest year yet, and then the very next year we grow even more. So it's exciting to see the direction the sport's going.
Very cool. All right, we're going to take another break. That's Andrea Salazar. She's the Director of Player Development over at CJVA, and we're going to be right back, talk a little bit more about it. Hang on.
I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HunterdonChamberRadio.com app today.
Hi, this is Ruth Ann Disatel, celebrant officiant with Celebration of a Lifetime. When people ask me why I joined the Chamber, it's because I want to get to know you and what you're all about. And I want you to get to know me and what I'm all about. And together, I'd like to celebrate what we can do for Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce. Building business. One business at a time.
You're listening to Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamber.com. Andrea Salazar is here with me. She's the Director of Player Development at Central Jersey Volleyball Academy. And a big infusion from the Olympics that is making kids in droves come to their place down there right near Diamond Nation. So the boys' programs are taking place right now, and you're taking tryouts and all that?
Yeah, like I said, we're opposite the high school season, so right. the boys' high school season's actually in the spring. So right now is where, you know, boys that are really competitive with the sport or really trying to get into it, they're looking to do training now. Mm-hmm. So we will have our tryouts in September, but until then, we're actually offering a eight nights of free boys' clinics to try and get more boys involved. And we've been doing that for the past, I think we started last week, so about this, we're going into our second week now. Every Tuesday, Thursday from 6 to 8, we invite every boy that wants to get an introduction to volleyball or has already been playing, mm-hmm. Just a free clinic to see how you like it.
What's the ratio of girls to boys in the volleyball sport?
Very lopsided.
Is it?
Yeah, just to give you an example, we had... I think 17 teams of girls just in Flemington, and we had five boys teams.
So it's a sport that's not growing. Well, it's just
it's growing.
It's in the opposite manner.
Yeah, it is. And I don't know why it's like that. You know, nationwide, there's not many college men's programs as there is women's. But it's definitely something that's growing, and we want to be a part of that. We want to get more boys involved. We had a great boys team last year. We had three great, really good boys teams. Well, one that was our most competitive, they ended up going to nationals, finishing in the bronze at nationals. So we're talking about them at a national stage doing really well.
Sweet.
And it was made up mostly of Hunterdon Central boys,
Central.
So they're representing locally and doing really well nationally.
So where do you, what's your, you've been here for 9 years, 11 years. What's, looking back on your work with CGAVA, what are you really proud of?
I'm really proud, I think, of obviously how the sport has grown. I think I see some of the programs in the area, some schools starting teams, and you know, mm-hmm. I feel like that's a direct, you know, that's part of what we're trying to do, is we're trying to grow the sport, and I'm really proud of I think the family we've built. I have players now that I've coached when they were much younger who are coming back, and they're right now coaching for us, and that's part of growing the sport, is also growing coaches.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of this really cool circle of life. We've had last year, I think alone, we had the majority of our coaches were former players that have gone on to play at college, are now teachers locally, and have come back to coach. And mm-hmm. That's I think been something that I've been really proud of.
So you guys see the volleyball sport is growing at this point.
Absolutely.
Where we're losing, golf is kind of diminishing.
Yeah.
Football is getting very expensive. It's not going to go away. It's a very popular sport. But mm-hmm. But in comparison to, so because the girls are the dominant sex in this sport, how does that compare with soccer and girls basketball and field hockey? Are you guys still trying to catch up to them? Or you?
I think we are playing catch up, but I think it's a steady growth that's been happening. Yeah. I mean, I think right now the most popular sport in New Jersey is soccer. You know, I think it's offered. You can go to any rec department and sign up a 5-year old for soccer, and that's still not available for volleyball.
Okay.
And you look at our, you know, nationally, our women's soccer team had 5 players from New Jersey, so I think definitely the sport in this state is soccer, but you can definitely see an increase with volleyball.
Well, that's a great explanation because the women's soccer team for the Olympics has won 4 out of 5 or 5 out of 6 now.
Yeah.
So if volleyball is starting to get that successful and Karch Karai was keeping the beat for all the women volleyball players there.
Mm-hmm.
Aside from that defeat, they still got a bronze medal. So
they did. They had a great tournament.
They had a great tournament. They looked awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So it's you guys are like 10 years behind, but the popularity is starting to show up, and that's great for your sport, and it's great that you guys have such a niche opportunity in this area because, as you said, it's not as widespread in the municipalities at this point.
Yeah, no, it's great. Like I said, I think Karch, he's actually a huge role model in our community, in our volleyball community.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what he's done with the national team has trickled down to, I think, the college,
nice.
The colleges, the high schools, and to us. We definitely follow his lead.
I remember watching him in the Olympics. Oh, my God.
Oh, when he played?
Yes.
Yeah, it was great.
It was awesome.
He was a big beach player.
Yeah. Well, he did both.
Yeah, he played both. He did both.
He was one of the only players to win both and play in both. So if the sport blows out like you're expecting it, what are you guys going to do?
I mean, we're...
It's a tough problem to have, isn't it?
Yeah.
You have to expand the building.
Yeah, it's not a bad problem to have. We're actually already kind of there. Like I said, our facility has 3 courts, and last year, unfortunately for our club teams, we were at maximum capacity.
So you've got a waiting list now.
Yeah, and we had to turn away kids, and that's something we don't want to do because, you know, that means that there's someone that doesn't get the opportunity to play. But, you know, looking forward, we're hoping to either expand the facility or find a new facility with a lot of space, because that's definitely the direction we want to go. We want to continue growing and give, you know, more kids in the area the opportunity to play.
Mm-hmm. And you've expanded in Summit at Kent Place.
Yes.
Any other? You said there was one in New England. If I look at New Jersey, is there still a void? Is there certain voids in the state?
No, there's definitely volleyball clubs that are popping up, which I think is a great sign. You know, we don't really see it as competition, but instead we see a great sign that the sport is growing.
Yeah.
Because that means there are kids that maybe are too far away from us that can't come to us that are still able to find the sport. You'll see too that there are new clubs popping up every day, and they're getting, you know, their group of kids out too, but I think we're definitely probably one of the biggest and most competitive in the area.
Nice. And what's next for Andrea? What are you looking to do for the next couple of years? I know you live over at CJVA, but how are you trying to grow yourself?
I'm big on my development as a coach, and Kim and Al have always been really good at fostering that. So they're really gracious at sending us to different certifications that help us attain that. I definitely want to reach a certain level of accreditation as a coach. I feel like the only way our program and our kids are going to grow is if I myself as a coach. I'm growing, so I want to continue to keep learning from the best and getting our program even stronger.
So you found your place, huh?
Yeah,
you're feeling pretty homey.
I'm one of those lucky people that found their career.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
that is awesome.
It is very cool.
And you got your preschool certificate, so that kind of works with all the younger kids.
Yeah, I mean, I have to like kids to work with them.
What's your absolutely. So over your 11-year career, mm-hmm. any particular person that you went, wow, that was really cool to watch them?
I had a team that I actually moved up with for 4 years. Mm-hmm. I coached them when they were 15, 16, 17, 18. And this is when our club was very young. We really weren't on the radar regionally or nationally. Mm-hmm. And 15's year, we had a great year. And then I stayed with them. And 16's year, we went to our regional tournament, and we ended up winning a bid to nationals, which was the first time our club had ever done that.
Nice.
And we got to go to Atlanta, Georgia, represent our region, you know, at this national tournament. And that was probably it was a great experience, because it was with these, you know, brand new kids that happened to trust me and trust the club, mm-hmm. to take them to this new level. And we got them there. And then that same year, it wasn't just my team that qualified. We happened to qualify three teams that first year. We qualified a 13s, a 15s, and 16s, which in our region is pretty competitive. So if you can qualify one team, you've made it. We happened to qualify three teams in that 1 year.
Rising tide raises all boats.
Yeah, exactly.
So how do people get in touch with you guys? What's the contact information?
Very simple. Our website has all the information. So if you were to go to cjva.org, mm-hmm. You can kind of look for the program specific for you. Mm-hmm. You know, right now our boys is what's the main program, but come fall, we're going to be doing our fall league, fall clinic. So you check our website, or you can email us at info@cjva.org. Or even call our office number, which is 732-369-3226.
Cool. Pleasure having you guys on.
Thank you
so much.
I'm glad
that Jeff Brody got in touch with me.
Me too.
So
I got to buy her a drink.
There you go. Jason, you missed out, man.
Yeah, man.
You could have been here and having fun, and you survived.
All right. Thank you so much.
This is awesome. Thank you so much. Good luck this year. Right?
Thank you.
All right. That is Andrea Salazar. She is the Director of Player Development from CJVA, Central Jersey Volleyball Academy. Vince Aurelino says, never say I should have. Perhaps you should start looking at taking your kid to Volleyball Academy. Try it out. They got 8 nights free. Go and check it out and find out what it's all about. And give your kids an opportunity to get active in a team sport. Nothing better. We'll be back again next Monday. Thanks to Mike and Michelle for their contribution to the show. And thank you to Andrea for her contribution. You've been listening to Good Morning Huntington on HuntingtonRadio.com. Stay safe, folks.
Is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org. Led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists, Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with John DeMaster.
Protests against Donald Trump continue getting violent in California. A number of fights breaking out between anti-Trump protesters and supporters after an event in San Jose last night where Hillary Clinton was in California as well, saying Donald Trump has no coherent foreign policy.
They're not even really ideas, just a series of bizarre rants.
Clinton saying Trump is temperamentally unfit for the Oval Office. Donald Trump fires back at a campaign rally. He says that Clinton's foreign policy is sad to watch.
It was a political speech. Had nothing to do with foreign policy.
Now as Texas continues dealing with heavy flooding, record-setting heat may cook the Southwest this weekend. National Weather Service issuing excessive heat warnings for Southeast California, Southern Nevada, and parts of Arizona from this morning to Sunday night. And the Navy reports that Blue Angels pilot is dead after his jet goes down in Tennessee. It happened yesterday near the town of Smyrna. This is USA Radio News.
I'm Sean Hare, the site director at conservativetribune.com. Conservative Tribune is one of the most visited news sites in the world, and the reason is simple. ConservativeTribune.com delivers edgy and bold commentary of the news every day. We are unapologetically pro-America, unabashedly conservative. At ConservativeTribune.com, we don't make apologies for who we are or what we say. If you're looking for more than boring stories and simple thought, visit ConservativeTribune.com. That's ConservativeTribune.com.
Okay, forest animals, kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow, have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. River, how's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man.
I love it. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. Okay. Squirrel.
The forest has been preparing just for you. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Prosecutors could announce a decision on charges in the Cincinnati Zoo gorilla incident today. Police launching the probe after a three-year-old boy falls into the gorilla enclosure on Saturday, prompting zookeepers to kill the animal. Investigators say they were focusing on the actions of the child's parents and not the safety of the zoo. A Japanese boy is found alive after being missing for a week. USA Radio's Tammy Rose has more.
A missing 7-year-old boy was found unharmed after searchers spent nearly a week combing dense forest on the northern Japanese island of Hokkaido. He was discovered in a small building at a military exercise ground about 2.5 miles from the spot where he was left alone at the roadside for a short time by his parents for being naughty. His father apologized to the community for his excessive behavior and told his son he was sorry.
Boxing legend Muhammad Ali's in the hospital being treated for a respiratory issue. A representative for Ali says he's in fair condition at a hospital in Phoenix. This is USA Radio News.
Hamilton was adopted from a rescue in 2008. He really likes to be around people. I get out my mat and I'm doing a downward dog and he's underneath. He's quite the pug about town. He gets invited to a lot of parties. He knows he's a pretty big deal. Look at this little face. I mean, you know, I love him.
Hamilton the Pug, Instagram star and shelter pet. Amazing adoption stories start in shelters. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
The State Department says Iran is the world's top state sponsor of terrorism and ISIS is the greatest threat globally. The department's annual report on worldwide terrorist activity also says there were close to 12,000 terrorist attacks in more than 90 countries in 2015. The report released yesterday saying Iran continued to be the top provider of financial support, training, and equipment to terrorist groups last year. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell stopped by Trending Today USA with Rusty Humphries, and USA Radio's Jason Wirt has the details.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell had some rather pointed words about the Senate Minority Leader when he appeared on Trending Today USA with Rusty Humphries.
At the height of the Iraq war in the middle of the surge, he says the war is lost. Well, what kind of message is that? Yeah. To soldiers who are out there fighting for, in the field.
McConnell also said President Obama acts like a child behind closed doors, telling everyone basically how much smarter he thinks he is than they are. I'm Jason Wirt.
The flooding in Texas claims the lives of soldiers. USA Radio's Anthony Lucero has been following that story.
The number of soldiers killed when a transport vehicle flipped over in Texas floodwaters now stands at 5. Rescue teams are continuing to search for 4 soldiers still missing at Fort Hood. The soldiers' tactical vehicle overturned at a low water crossing at a creek on the Central Texas Army base. 3 other soldiers are in stable condition at a hospital.
NASA says it appears an asteroid buzzed Arizona, a bright fireball lighting up the sky for a few seconds yesterday morning. This is USA Radio News.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on 100 Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home Sweet Home.
It is 9:06, time for 100 Chamber Radio weather. We're at 64 degrees. It's still raining out there. 90% chance of precipitation. I can see the rain passing through. It's going to over to our east now. Today is Friday, TGIF, June 3rd, 2016. Showers mainly this morning. Highs in the mid-70s. South winds around 5 miles an hour. Chance of rain, 100%. Mostly cloudy and a slight chance of showers in the evening. Patchy fog after midnight. Lows in the lower 60s. Southwest winds around 5 miles an hour. Chance of rain is 20%. Partly sunny and patchy fog in the morning tomorrow. And then it's a beautiful day for Community Day. Highs in the lower 80s. Southwest winds around 5 miles an hour. Showers and thunderstorms likely on Sunday. Thunderstorms may produce heavy rainfall. Humid with highs in the upper 70s. Chance of rain 70%. Monday the 6th, mostly cloudy in the morning, then becoming mostly sunny, highs in the 80s. Partly sunny, highs in the 80s on Tuesday the 7th, and mostly sunny, highs in the lower 70s on Wednesday. Always gets better in the week, doesn't it? Here's our temperatures around the area. 67 at the county complex, 63 over in Pittstown, 65 up in Hampton, 63 up in Tewksbury, 65 down in Ringo's, and 62 over in Kingwood. Good morning, Hunterdon. That's Hunterdon Chamber Radio weather.
20 to 40 pounds in 40 days guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program, no drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost resonant frequency technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
All right, I have two good friends here with me, my leadership alumni, Leadership 100 and alumni, Joan Ann Cafaro here, and I have a new person I just learned about, Michelle Barakas, who's with me, and we're going to talk about workforce development over at RVCC. So I want to bring them on in. Joan Ann Cafaro is the Director of Professional and Corporate Development. Did I get that right?
You sure did.
All right. And Michelle Barakas is the new executive director over there at Workforce Development. So welcome, ladies. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
This is very cool. So we've done this, Joanne, a couple of times. Last time we chatted about January 14th of 2015. So dug all that out, and we'll rehash a little bit about it, but obviously there's new things happening over at RVCC, so...
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
We have located and recovered 36 victims.
The latest from the site of a Friday night fire at a warehouse in Oakland, California. Alameda County Sheriff's spokeswoman Tia Modeste making this announcement.
11 have been positively identified and their family members have been appropriately notified.
Meanwhile, fire officials say they believe they have found where the fire began in the back of the building, but the cause is still unknown. Ben Carson is Donald Trump's choice for Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, as Trump's transition team has confirmed the president-elect has picked the retired neurosurgeon and former presidential candidate for that post. Meantime, Trump is still interviewing more candidates for Secretary of State. You're listening to USA Radio News.
This report is brought to you by Bank of America, working with home design and DIY experts Ben and Aaron Napier. During the holidays, make decorations to brighten up your home without burning through your seasonal budget.
Because we rarely see picturesque white winters here in Mississippi, we like to make DIY decorations that bring a warm holiday ambiance to our home. One of my favorites is to take the cards we receive from friends and family during the season and hang them using twine, clothespins, and twinkle lights.
It looks amazing, plus it warms our hearts to surround ourselves with photos and cards from our loved ones. For our holiday DIY buys, we love to use our Bank of America Cash Rewards credit card because we can earn 1% cash back on every purchase. Even better, we can also earn 2% cash back on grocery store and wholesale club purchases and 3% cash back on